This message was preached at Trinity Remnant Church, Pella, Iowa, by Reverend Benjamin Blossom Anum Hire on March 1st, in the year 2026. This is the Word of God. Our text is from Romans 6, verses 5 through 14. Paul writes, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." Last week, we learned from the Apostle Paul that being a Christian means a major spiritual transformation has taken place in your life, which will begin to show in your attitude toward sin. You have died to sin and been raised to a new life. Unlike before, when you were an unbeliever, sin dominated your life. You love to sin, boast about sin, support sinful activities, and celebrate sin. Here in the United States, we have Pride Month. The entire month of June each year is dedicated to celebrating the contributions and achievements of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer LGBTQ plus community. Why would people celebrate homosexuality and even promote this sinful activity for an entire month? Well, the unbeliever does all these because they are enslaved to sin. However, after you became a Christian, you now have the power to say no to sin. About 3 months ago, we learned that the word salvation is used in three tenses in Scripture. In the past tense, we have been saved from the guilt and penalty of sin through justification. In the present tense, we are being saved from the power and pollution of sin through sanctification. In the future tense, we shall be saved completely, including the redemption of our bodies when we are delivered entirely from sin. In chapter 6, the apostle shifts his focus from the justification of sinners, which makes them believers, to their sanctification. God will sanctify those he has justified. Until our death, we are being saved from the power and pollution of sin through sanctification. Why do we have wars, diseases, and evil activities all around us? It is all because of sin. The ultimate goal of salvation regarding the body, therefore, is complete deliverance from sin's influence. While believers are already freed from sin's dominion in their essential identity, that is, in their justification, the physical body awaits final redemption in their glorification. We concluded our study last week with the understanding that Christians should increasingly experience freedom from sin's power in their bodies in this life, because of their new position as righteous people before God, having died to sin and been transformed spiritually. The final stage of our salvation will be the glorification of the body at Christ's return, when even our physical bodies will be fashioned like unto his glorious body and completely free from sin's effects. In the verses we are looking at today, Paul gives us detailed information about what has happened to the believer. We will consider each verse. Now we will consider the spiritual transformation of the believer. How has the believer been transformed spiritually? In verse 5 and 6, the apostle wrote, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. We will first consider verse 5. In verse 5, the apostle summarizes what he had already said in verses 3 and 4 about being united with Christ in his death and resurrection through baptism. Paul emphasizes the intimate union believers have with Christ. He indicated that if we share in Christ's death, we will share in his resurrection and, indeed, in his glorification. Our future glorification is guaranteed. Is the apostle saying that we have experienced the same pain Jesus Christ went through? No. As our representative head, everything true of him has been credited to us. What happened to Christ literally and physically happens to us spiritually, giving us all the benefits and results of his death and resurrection. We shall never know the suffering he knew. Spiritually, believers have been resurrected into a newness of life, but the day is coming when we shall be literally resurrected with a new, glorified body, as it happened to our Lord about 2,000 years ago. Now we will consider verse 6. In verse 6, Paul says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him." These days, you would hardly find people who call themselves Christians knowing the gospel. I grew up in the church and was active in so many Christian activities, but I only understood the gospel a few years ago. From Paul's writing, it seems that a basic teaching among the believers was that being a believer meant they had died to sin and that their old self had been crucified with Christ. This knowledge was the foundation of their Christian living and victory over sin. We must also know these fundamental truths about our conversion, about our regeneration. We should all be perfectly familiar with this doctrine. Paul is not talking about something we have experienced literally, but about the knowledge revealed in Scripture about our spiritual standing before God. Paul then stated that our old self was crucified with Christ. What is our old self, and how has it been crucified with Christ? Our old self was crucified with him. What is our old self? It is our former self, the person I was before the grace of God came to take hold of me and before I united with Jesus Christ by faith. My old self is the man that I used to be in Adam. As a believer, you were once a man and a woman in Adam. Now you are a man and a woman in Christ. The old self was crucified with Christ and is now non-existent. The man and woman that you were in Adam, if you are a Christian, have gone out of being, no longer there. Paul says to all believers that our old humanity, old self, or identity in Adam has been crucified with Christ once and for all. This is not something that gradually dies or needs to be buried. It is already dead and buried with Christ. The apostle in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 wrote, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." When you are in Christ, you are a new creation, a new man, a new woman, a new child. God has raised a believer from the old self into newness of life in him. The apostle is not calling on believers to crucify our old selves because it has already happened. Understanding this truth about who we are in Christ should equip us to defy sin and Satan. This truth is what we need to resist the devil. You must say to yourself in your thoughts that, "I am no longer who I was in Adam. I am a new person in Christ. My old self has been crucified with Christ, once and for all." Died to sin and our old self crucified with Christ are facts we are believed by faith, not something we experience first. These are words from God. The believer has died to sin, and our duty is to believe God and his word. We are to be like Abraham, who believed God's promise despite all evidence to the contrary. The believer knows they have died to sin because the word tells them so. It's the bare statement of God that must be believed. The apostle also wrote that the body of sin might be done away with. Paul says, We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. What is our body of sin, and how has it been done away with? The body of sin refers to our physical bodies, where sin still has influence and power. It is our sinful body. The apostle says our fallen, sinful fleshly human nature might be done away with or rendered powerless. The apostle is not saying that our body of sin has been eliminated or eradicated. Rather, it has been defeated, dethroned, disabled, and no longer in control. We do not need to serve it. Sin is still in existence, but it is not in control of the believer, not in the government. Rather, it is in opposition in the life of the believer. Sin is in government in the life of the unbeliever. Unbelievers are slaves to sin. They are quick to sin, love to sin, boast about their sin, promote sin. But when the grace of God reaches out to the unbeliever and they become children of God, sin is dethroned and the person is now free to serve God. The believer has been completely delivered from sin's slavery, power, and jurisdiction. While the old self was crucified once and for all, the body of sin is something that continues to be dealt with in the Christian life. The believer must not allow sin to reign in the mortal body or yield the members of the body as instruments of unrighteousness. The complete deliverance of the body from sin's influence awaits glorification, which is a redemption of our bodies. This truth prevents believers from questioning their salvation every time they sin. Instead, they recognize that while sin remains in their members, that is their physical body, their essential identity as a new creation in Christ is secure. We will now consider verses 9 and 10. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Death once had dominion over Christ, not because he sinned, but because he took our sins upon himself. However, his resurrection proves that death has been defeated and can never touch him again. He has once and forever and finally finished with death. His resurrection is God's announcement and proclamation to the whole universe that Christ has completed the work for which he sent him into the world. The apostle says Christ is finished with sin and death. Because we are united with Christ, what is true of him becomes true of us. Therefore, understanding what happened to Christ is essential before we can understand our own position and experience. Because we are united with him, we too have died to sin once and for all and should have no fear of death. What then should the believer do in light of this truth? What then should the believer do in light of this truth? After the apostle told us what we need to know about our salvation, he now tells us, in verses 11 through 14, what we as believers need to do because doctrine must always be applied. In verse 11, the apostle first asks us to consider ourselves dead to sin and, secondly, alive unto God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We have died once and forever to the realm, rule, and reign of sin and death. This is a permanent, finished action, once and forever. We have been completely transferred out of the domain of sin into a new realm. Sin no longer has dominion over us, though for some reasons, believers can occasionally fall into sin. When a Christian falls, they fall within God's kingdom, not Satan's kingdom. Christians don't sin because they must, but because they foolishly choose to. The Christian's whole position and condition are changed, and they have a completely different attitude toward sin. But it is a different story for the unbeliever. Unbelievers are under sin's bondage and captivity. They have no choice and can't stop sinning. While a Christian sins as a free person who is choosing to do wrong, the unbeliever is a slave to sin, and the believer is no longer a slave to sin. The Christian also has a different perspective on death. Rather than dying, Christians fall asleep according to 1 Thessalonians 4. The Christian may physically pass through death, but they never die in the ultimate sense. The sting of death is removed for believers because Christ has destroyed him who had the power of death. Hebrews 2 verse 14. Death is gain for Christians, according to Philippians 1 verse 21. Paul later tells us in Romans 8 verses 38 and 39 that nothing can separate believers from God's love, not even death. A true Christian who falls into sin is called a backslider. The key difference between a backslider and a non-Christian is their attitude while sinning. A backsliding Christian will be miserable while sinning. They hate themselves and the sin, but continue doing it. However, the non-Christian enjoys sin and feels they were foolish to have given up some sinful behaviors. The backslider will indeed be restored because they are a child of God and will not be allowed to remain that way. God will discipline them to restore them out of love for his children. Paul also tells us in verse 11 that believers are alive unto God. What is the meaning of alive unto God? This means we are in an entirely new realm and sphere, the realm of grace rather than sin. Just as Christ is no longer in the realm of sin and death, but is now sharing glory with God, we are raised spiritually with Christ from being dead in trespasses and sins into a new realm, under a new power. We are in an entirely new relationship with God. We are reconciled to God. We are now in a position of favor with God. We have become God's children and objects of his love and special concern. In John 17, verse 23, Jesus prays that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Every one of the chosen and the called and the redeemed will arrive in heaven absolutely perfect and spotless. In Philippians 1 verse 6, the apostle wrote, "He that hath begun a good work and you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Christ's purpose is to present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ephesians 5 verses 25 through 27, Paul continued to tell us as God's children what we need to do in verses 12 through 14. Verses 12, 13, and 14. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law but under grace." Paul is instructing Christians not to allow sin to reign in their mortal bodies, showing how doctrine must be applied practically. What does Paul mean by mortal body? Mortal body refers literally to our physical bodies, not to our sinful nature. The word mortal emphasizes two things. First, that our current condition is temporary, and second, that our current body contrasts with the glorified body we will receive. The glorified body will be like that of Jesus' resurrected body. The mortal body we have now is perishable and weak, all due to sin. Our glorified bodies will be imperishable and powerful, not subject to decay and death. It will no longer suffer from sickness and death, nor will they ever be subject to heat and cold or hunger and thirst. While true believers are dead to sin and sin cannot dominate the believer's soul in terms of our essential identity, and while we have nothing more to do with sin, and sin has nothing more to do with us, sin still remains in our mortal bodies. Sin can still affect our bodies and tries to reign there if not resisted. Because of the presence of sin, Paul calls on believers not to let it reign in our mortal bodies. Sanctification involves active resistance to sin grounded in an understanding of doctrine. Sanctification is not just an appeal to us to look to the Lord, but instead involves our active participation in applying doctrine. Christians can successfully resist sin because the power of God works in them. You are the man and woman, the child who has died with Christ, who has been crucified with Christ. You are the man and woman, the child who is alive unto God. You are the man in whom the Spirit of God is working. This divine empowerment makes resistance possible, unlike the non-Christian, who remains a slave to sin. There is no need for sin to reign in our mortal bodies, because God is working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. If a Christian allows sin to reign in their mortal body, they are setting themselves against God's purpose in them and may face divine discipline. The consequences may include sickness or even death, as Paul described in 1 Corinthians 11, where some of them are very ill, some of them are sick, some of them have even died because they allowed sin to reign in their bodies. Shall we continue to sin after all that God has done for us in Jesus and has prepared for us when Christ returns? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?